It is universally accepted that Jesus was born and lived on earth. We got that. Today's gospel from Luke is the well-told story of the angel Gabriel appearing to young Mary to tell her that she will be the mother of God's Son. For the first time, we hear the name Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. The world will be shaken by those words. This last Sunday of Advent might find ourselves pondering about our relationship with Jesus. Does that relationship shake us? Are our actions governed by it? Could it use a little more attention? Or, and this is okay, do we see ourselves in a relationship at all? I have a true story to tell you about what I mean by a relationship with Jesus. It's not a Christmas story. It's more a Good Friday story. But then, of course, we wouldn't have Christmas without Good Friday and Easter. As priests do, I was with a young husband in the surgical waiting room while his wife underwent serious surgery. He was joined by a good Jewish friend, and as sometimes those situations can tend to become, the conversation became deep and honest. His Jewish friend turned to me and said, "Why do you believe in Jesus?" Well, even I was surprised by my response. I said, "Because God is too big for me to understand. But I can relate to Jesus, and this relationship directs my life." Now, each of our relationships with Jesus is a personal, individual thing. But the point to remember is that the seed for this relationship is within all of us, because that's how God is. Jesus is always with us. God is always with us, reaching out to us and moving with us. Well, usually we begin a relationship by knowing something about how that person grew up, what made them who they are. I'd like to tell you something about Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. It's on the top of a hill, on a hill probably as steep as College Hill. Amid the souvenir shops, there are many churches at many holy sites. It's a very crowded place. The distance between Mary's house and Joseph's house would have been about the distance between here and Peapack. It's a small place, even by Rhode Island standards. Now, the actual holy sites take you down many steps to small, cave-like openings, very humble in keeping with the gospel message we hear today. The Church of the Annunciation, where it is said that Gabriel appeared to Mary, is the fifth one built on that spot. It's surprisingly modern, built in 1969. During Mary's lifetime, Nazareth had one well. The well, surprisingly, was at least as far away as from here to the Providence River. It would have been a very steep, dangerous and rocky walk. Nazareth shows us that God did indeed choose the lowly and the humble to be the favored ones. So might it seem curious then that along with the reading about Gabriel's annunciation to the humble Mary, we also hear the reading from 2 Samuel about powerful King David, along with warnings from God to King David to get off his high horse. Now, many know from experience that we would do well to heed God's warning to David. We must often, always, get out of our own way to make room for Jesus to live in us. So here's what's happening. King David, Joseph's ancestor, had gained control of Israel and Judah. His troops had captured Jerusalem. God had fulfilled the promise he made in Genesis to provide a land for the people. And with great fanfare and dancing, David had brought the Ark of God, God's essence, which had always been housed in a tent, to Jerusalem. And now David was resting. One might expect quiet prayers or thanks to God from King David. Yet instead, he decides on his own that he will build a house for the Ark of God. Surprisingly, the prophet Nathan concurs. Now, the questions beg to be asked. What motivated David at this point to act independently of God? What led David to believe that he could decide for God? Did David want to bring this house because he was powerful? Because he could? Had he forgotten all that God had done for him? Had he simply grown too big for his britches? Well, catch the dynamics of what happens next. God speaks to the prophet Nathan and tells Nathan to tell his servant David that God doesn't want to live in a house, that God chose to move around with the people in a portable tent and a tabernacle. God continues a warning again to his servant David. Remember where you came from the pasture following sheep. God reminds David that God has always been with him everywhere. God has protected him, trounced his enemies, and will make David great, and will find a place for the people Israel. God concludes, "Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." Haven't we all been in David's shoes? Like David, we're human. And we go ahead with our lives, and we make plans without considering God. Perhaps on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we too can use a reminder from God about where we came from and about all God has done for us. Yes,